Citicorp, the nation's second largest bank, has announced it will cut 7,500 jobs over the next year and a half. It's part of a long-term program of restructuring in banking and other industries that are trying to lower costs, improve efficiency, and increase profits. But downsizing is no longer the dominant theme in corporate America. Many companies are creating two new jobs for each one that's eliminated. NPR's Elaine Corey has more from San Francisco.
In its annual survey of large companies, the American Management Association found that downsizing has fallen to its lowest level in the 1990s. In the one-year period ended in June, less than 20% of firms had a net decrease in their workforce. The association's Eric Greenberg says as large firms opt for growth, they're just as likely to be hiring.
We had to go through this long, dark night of restructuring and reengineering and actual downsizing, as companies were squeezing out activities that didn't add value to the products or services, didn't give any kind of competitive advantage in the marketplace, and ultimately weren't worth paying for. But now those same factors are calling forth new jobs with high skill sets, and they're good-paying jobs.
Much of the job creation is to be expected. Companies used to cite poor market conditions as a reason to slash jobs, but the economy has turned around, and firms in the survey said strong market demand is now fueling job growth. There's been another important change since the early 1990s. Automation and new technology used to be a job killer. Now, says Greenberg, the same forces are creating new positions, some of which did not even exist as recently as a few years ago.
If you had called the company and asked for a webmaster, the company probably wouldn't have been able to hear you. What is a webmaster? Well, these days, companies have not one webmaster, people responsible for organizing and updating corporate web pages, but they have many, many people working on a daily basis on doing this.
Indeed, hiring has been strongest in the areas of information systems and in manufacturing. Plants are desperate for highly skilled technical people to manage their newly automated production systems. More than half of the companies in the survey complained about a shortage of skilled labor, a trend they fear will continue into the next decade. And that, says Greenberg, should lead to a new emphasis on worker training. He says successful companies are incorporating a lesson learned from downsizing.
Training has a strong, strong correlation to making things better in the organization. Better products, better productivity, better profits.
Overall, the American Management Association survey is both positive and negative. The last decade has been one of great organizational turmoil. Those companies that handled the changes well are poised to grow, and they'll be creating permanent jobs that demand high skill levels. The association's Eric Greenberg says the people who have those skills will be coming in the door, while those who don't will be walking out. Elaine Corey, NPR News, San Francisco.
When Fox Television began broadcasting professional football games a few years ago, the network provided the viewer with a constant display of the game's score on the screen. The graphic has caught on with the other networks, too. Commentator Frank DeFord says it's a reflection of 1990s consumerism.
Sometimes things all over just seem to happen as if by constitutional osmosis. For example, receipts. All of a sudden, across the contiguous 48 states, with no warning, people at cash registers wanted to give you a receipt. Then they started forcing receipts on you. You could not turn down receipts, even if all you had bought was a newspaper or a Tic Tac. Here is your receipt, sir. Here is your receipt, sir. Then it got even worse. I started seeing signs that if I was not given a receipt, I would get my purchase for free. I was supposed to tattletale on receipt givers, even when I didn't want a receipt. I don't want a receipt. Now, in sports, the equivalent of this compulsory receipt requirement is the little box that appears in the upper left-hand corner of your screen during a game. It's easy to find. It's catty-cornered from the little symbol in the lower right-hand corner, which, like the receipt you don't want, constantly advises you what network you're watching. The little upper left-hand box tells you the score of the game and the time or the inning and other pertinent data. I like the little box. As it gets more and more comprehensive, it allows me to just watch the little box and therefore avoid listening to the game and watching the game. The little box for sporting events arrived about 3 or 4 years ago. It was a foreign innovation at soccer games, which is especially interesting inasmuch as the score in soccer is usually no score. Still, network by network, sport by sport, it caught on in America. The penultimate holdout, ABC, added the little box to Monday Night Football this season, much to the disgust of the announcers, who could see that their vocal responsibility was being usurped, and indeed improved on, by the little box. That left only NBC sports events lacking the little box in the upper left-hand corner of the screen. Dick Ebersol, the foxy head of NBC Sports, said he'd be darned if he was going to put the little box in his games, because then, if the score was lopsided, viewers would instantly click away to another channel. But the drumroll in the public and in the press for NBC to add the little box reached El Nino-sized proportions. And sure enough, poor Ebersol finally had to cave in for the World Series. NBC has added a little box, although if you watch the fourth game tonight, you'll see that its little box appears only before the pitch and in the lower right-hand corner. NBC Sports, like all institutions that succumb to public pressure, is doing it incrementally and acting like it was its own idea all along. To have the little box on the screen actually during the pitch would, NBC says very pretentiously, be, well, artistically cruel, like painting a mustache on the Mona Lisa. Hey, I bet you in another year, the weather and the Dow Jones averages will be in a little box on Tom Brokaw's NBC News. Little boxes have won. Thank you, and don't forget your receipt.
The comments of Frank DeFord, a columnist for Newsweek magazine. He joins us every Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut. This is NPR's Morning Edition. I'm Bob Edwards.